It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way.
Say goodnight to this one!
And Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe. On your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Here we are at Friday, here we are at the weekend, and here we are with important collegiate action on tap for both of the area's collegiate athletic programs and some massive games as well. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, where we're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Way. I do thank you very much for joining us. Jeff Howe will join us around the bottom of the hour for the Longhorn Notebook. He is across town from me here in Kansas City. I'm at the Longhorns Team Headquarter Hotel. And there's a lot to get to on the program today. First and foremost, our esteemed producer is Cameron Parker behind the glass. How you doing, Cam?
I'm doing good, Craig. It's starting to rain out here in Austin, Texas, so not happy with the weather match play week.
Yeah, how'd that go for you yesterday? You were out there, or were you planning to go today? No, tonight you've got baseball. You've got Round Rock against Stony Point, right?
Yeah, I was hoping to get out and catch the very end of Jordan Spieth's match, but the way he's losing right now, he may be done before the show even ends. So
Wow. Possibly
for an hour or two, but yeah, high school baseball back up today. We've already had a couple games postponed because of weather earlier this week, so hopefully we don't have that same fade again tonight, but it hopefully will clear up a little bit, a couple hours.
All right, since we're in the business of keeping people up to speed, what's the update on Spieth's match?
Yeah, so he's three down through six holes right now to Shane Lowry. Now, he lost yesterday to Taylor Montgomery, so for Spieth to advance to the round of 16, which is the weekend, he would have to win his match and then have Mackenzie Hughes beat Taylor Montgomery in the other match. Now, the good news is that Hughes is three up over Montgomery right now. The bad news is Spieth is three down, and if Lowry makes this nine-footer, he'll be four down through seven holes. So, in other words, if you're going out to Dell match play, maybe just follow Scottie Scheffler around because it looks like he'll be playing this weekend.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. We'll keep people updated on that. As always, we'd like to wish people a good weekend, and I understand, I always say this, there are some people for whom the weekend merely means, going to the job site or going to the office or going to the place of business, or in my case, the place of business, and I'm hoping to be working throughout the weekend up here in Kansas City. That would be the T-Mobile Center, where the Longhorns have a basketball game tonight. In the Sweet 16, Texas against Xavier. We're going to hear from Rodney Terry coming up here in just a few moments from his news conference yesterday. Jeff, for Longhorn Notebook, has some other things that came out of the media sessions yesterday because Jeff was also in the open locker room portion of the deal. So we'll hear from him talking about that. We have a very rich and, you might say, fulfilled, inconceivable today. You begin with the fact that it's a Friday, and we know what that means with Florida Man and all that, and we do have some of that. But one of the Florida Man stories also has a connection to the National Football League, and we've got some other tidbits that are pretty interesting, to get to an inconceivable. Also, in the 11 o'clock hour, Gene Watson, the assistant general manager of the Kansas City Royals for Major League Scouting, will join us just past the top of the hour, and we'll get a review of the World Baseball Classic. He was there, and then also as we head down the home stretch of spring training and getting ready for the start of the Major League season, the headline notes there. So we'll do that as well. We have a Flex 30 update as well, and a lot of Longhorn conversation to get to. So without further ado, first thing I want to do is, and we do this when we go to the top of the hour, and when we When we go past the top of the hour, we come back with what I like to call the cleanup from hour number one for folks on the Specs text line. And Cam will keep an eye on that if you have some questions or submissions on that. 512-337-3776, 512-337-3776. And Cam will keep an eye on those. But usually when we get past the top of the hour, I get to say what I say cleanup from hour number one, and it's some text we didn't have time to get to, and so we get caught up on that. In this case, it's a little cleanup from the end of B&E because Bucky was talking about a very entertaining story about recruiting a young man or wanting flying to recruit a young man named Derek Doris. He was from Azle, which is just off the northwest side of Fort Worth. And he decided he was not going to have the pilot take him through some violent thunderstorms or some really stormy weather, so he didn't do that. He said Derek Doris wound up at Tech, and he said, and I think he made a dirty play. Yes, he did. It reminded me of that. I texted Bucky to remind him, and he remembered. Derek Doris was an outstanding high school player in Azle. I did a couple of playoff games that he played in, and he was a Blake Gideon guy in high school. In other words, he did just about everything. He caught passes. He defended. He was a DB. He did a little bit of everything. But when he got to Texas Tech, he was strictly a receiver. And I know a lot of Longhorn fans are going to remember this. In 1998, Mack Brown's first year. And Texas was out there with still a shot to get to the Big 12 championship game. And they lost a heartbreaker to Texas Tech out there. And when they lost to Texas Tech out there, one of the key moments came when Derek Doris threw an illegal crackback block on Anthony Hicks, one of the nicest guys in the world, a Texas linebacker, and it took out his knees. And it got a lot of attention, a lot of headlines and things like that. And that's what I thought of when I thought of Derek Doris, because of that crackback block where he got Anthony Hicks in the knees, and it ended Anthony Hicks' career. He was a senior, but that ended his career. He wasn't able to finish the season. So that comes to mind when I think of Derek Doris, as Bucky was talking about. Okay, now to the basketball. And there's also baseball to get to tonight, and we'll kind of preview the Texas Tech series because it is important as the Longhorns get ready to take on the Red Raiders this weekend. Conference opening series for Texas, both in baseball and in softball. Softball is scheduled to play at 4:30 this afternoon, and you'll be able to hear all three games of the softball series on 105.3 The Bat. It'd be a 4:15 airtime this afternoon with a 4:30 first pitch at McCombs Field. Then, of course, across the street at UFC Dish Frog Field, it's a 7 o'clock first pitch, and it's a 6:45 airtime, and that game will be heard tonight on AM 1260 and 101.9 FM. AM 1260, 101.9, and also if you're in the ballpark or ballpark frequency at 87.7 FM, if you're inside of UFC Dish Frog Field, 87.7 if you want to listen to the game broadcast. But it is 101.9 and AM 1260 tonight, what with Longhorn basketball being here on the horn on 104.9 FM, as well as on Coke 98.5, 99.3 FM. But the Longhorn Xavier game will be on 104.9. So Texas getting ready for Xavier. And at the news conference yesterday, Rodney Terry was asked about a variety of things. So we're kind of give you a little bit of a cross section of the things that he talked about and was asked about. Some are the obvious things you would expect. Some were a little bit different. So here, this is from the news conference. First of all, starting it off when he was asked to describe, you know, the feeling of going back here, making it back here by winning the two games in Des Moines. The Longhorns now back in Kansas City, and Roddy was asked about the feeling of getting his team back here to Kansas City.
Well, getting back to Kansas City wasn't easy. I mean, we faced a really good Colgate team that put a lot of pressure on us in terms of shooting the basketball. Really good, well-coached Penn State team as well. We were here a couple weeks ago and had a great experience in terms of getting a chance to win a championship, Big 12 championship. Thought our league was really, really good this year. And, you know, we had a great experience while we were here. So we're excited about being back in Kansas City.
Yeah, so that was right out of the gate. And then the first question that he was asked, you knew this was coming. And I don't philosophically have a problem with the question itself. It's kind of in the way it's asked. This is from Myron Metcalf, who writes for ESPN.com. And Myron, instead of asking Rodney, you know, hey, can you give us an update? Have you heard anything further on your job status? It's the blunt, direct, and kind of coarse way in which he asked the question. When he asked him, why aren't you the head coach at Texas? And why haven't you? He's asking questions in a blunt fashion that Rodney simply doesn't have the answer to right now. But in his usual way of handling such questions with style and grace and aplomb, when he was asked, why haven't you been named the head coach and what do you have to do to do it, you know, that kind of stuff, Rodney Terry answered it in the best way he could, was to say, look, it's all about staying the course right now for him personally and on a larger level for the team.
From the time that I was named acting head coach, I've really just poured a lot into these guys. You know, we have a great group of guys I've had a chance to work with every single day, and really tried to instill in those guys, much like how I approach life, in terms of just being an everyday guy, you know, living where your feet are, living in the present, and again, controlling what you can control. Our administrations have been great to me. They've done an incredible job backing myself, our staff, and being very supportive with our team. You know, and really at the end of the day, we've just tried to handle what was in front of us, you know, 40 minutes by 40 minutes, you know, and we're blessed enough to be here in the NCAA tournament and playing the second weekend. And we've got an incredible challenge ahead with Xavier, who's a well-coached team as well. And we're just excited about where we are right now, living in the moment.
Yeah, and that's the only thing, the only way he knows that he can address that question, because there's nothing new to report on that. And so, again, to ask, why haven't you been named? He doesn't have the answer to that, you know. But he addressed it in, like I said, in a professional manner, and then they moved on. The next question had to do about Sule Boom. And I mentioned this yesterday, and when we had the conversation on the program yesterday with Christian Bishop, and I asked the guys at the news conference yesterday about him how much had been said about Sule Boom, because here's a guy who's converted two guard to point guard, who played for Rodney at UTEP, was in the program for 3 years at UTEP. He now happens to be Xavier's leading scorer. He averages just under 17 points per game. And so they're understandably going to be questions about Sule Boom and matching up with him, just as you would about any of the other Xavier players who are key components of this Musketeer basketball team. You know, guys like Adam Kunkel, who can shoot 41% beyond the arc, Colby Jones, the guard, who can also shoot from outside, Jack Nunji, the big guy, the 7-footer in the middle, he can also knock down 3-pointers. So, specific questions were asked about all the guys, but you knew it was going to be asked about Sule Boom and how the Longhorns were ready to deal with him. But also the question put to Rodney from a more personal level, you know, what are his recollections, and talking about the Xavier point guard, Sule Boom.
You talk about a great kid, one of my favorites to coach. Came to us from UTEP after having a really successful rookie campaign as a freshman at San Francisco. We knew that he was coming. He was on the All-West Coast Conference rookie team. We knew he was a guy that was wired to score. He was a guy that came in that we played a lot at the two, and I made him play a little bit of point. He wasn't real happy about playing the point because he didn't get a chance to keep that ball in his hand as much as he wanted to. But just watching him grow as a player over the years. My last year at UTEP, he played alongside Bryson Williams, Jamal Bienemy, Keontae Kennedy, played with some really good players. And he was a guy that, again, was all about trying to win. Sule is so ate up with winning sometimes to a fault, to where he's like, just give me the ball and let me go do it. I'll show you, coach. We'll get it done. But just a fierce competitor, great kid, Love him like my own son. We'll be major competitors come Friday night, though. He wants to win. I want to win. But I can't say enough great things about him as a person, and love his mom as well.
And then one more piece of sound we wanted to bring to you from Rodney. We'll do some more next hour. But this one is more about the challenge of the job itself. Whereas, you know, certainly a guy like a Myron Medcalf or somebody might be interested in just, you know, saying, what do you know? Why haven't you been hired? What do you know about that? Blair Kirchhoff, I think, is an outstanding writer from the Kansas City Star. One of the best for years and years and years. Ask Rodney to talk about, you know, how he has been able to handle the challenges of the job given the situation that was presented in December and then named interim head coach in January. And he also asked him if there were some comparisons with how Norm Roberts had to take over at Kansas. Remember, Bill Self came to Kansas City with the team for the Big 12 tournament here 2 weeks ago and had to go to the hospital for a medical procedure. And when he went in for the procedure, it was day to day, but day by day, Self was ruled out of each of the Big 12 conference tournament games in Kansas City. Each day it was like, well, don't know yet. We'll find out. And then probably whatever it was, an hour or two before the game, then we found out he's not going to be coaching the team that day. That happened for each of the three games in Kansas City. And then when Kansas was on in Des Moines, and, of course, the Longhorns were up in Des Moines as well. Kansas was in the West Regional, and the Longhorns, of course, in the Midwest. But they're both out of the same pod coming out. And Kansas was doing without Bill Self again. Again, the questions were put, you know, would Bill Self be available? And then when we would find out on day of the game, he would not be coaching the team. And, of course, Kansas went out in the second round to Arkansas, so the season over for Kansas and the season over for Bill Self. So hopefully Bill Self is recovering fine and will be back next year and everything will be okay, but he's done for the year. Norm Roberts, his longtime assistant, came over with him from Oral Roberts in the 2000s, early 2000s. Was with him at Oral Roberts and then at Illinois and then at Kansas. And Norm Roberts had to take over the coaching reins there for the three games they played in the Big 12 tournament and the two games they played in Kansas City. So Rodney Terry was asked by Blair Kirchhoff of the Kansas City Star about the challenges of taking the job, taking over the program, and then if he thought Norm Roberts also felt some of those very similar challenges, as the question was put to Rodney about the challenges of the position.
I think the biggest thing anytime you're in a situation that I was in, I think one, you just have to be yourself. You know, I don't think you try to be something that you're not. You can't go and, you know, coach Chris is a great coach, Beard, but I couldn't be Beard. I'm not Beard. Beard's totally different than myself. And so for myself, I just had to be Rodney Terry, you know, and I think that boded well with our guys in terms of them really trying to buy into what we were trying to get done. We still had a whole season to play, and everything was still in front of us. So I think that was one thing that was a challenge that I'm not sure how the guys thought that would turn out. I think the other thing was continuing to have great chemistry among your staff. I think our staff, from the start, we were all committed to trying to try to have a great season and take this team as far as we could take them. I think also having a chance to sit down with our captains on our team, the leaders of our team, and talked about what our new leadership style would look like, where we wanted to go, and really trying to continue to build on what we were already trying to do early in the season. I think Norm, again, I know Norm a long time as well. Long-time assistant. I think, again, you have to be ready, prepared for the opportunity, too. Norm's been a head coach, so he knows what that entails in terms of leading a program. I thought he did a very admirable job down the stretch in leading KU. You know, you have a Hall of Fame coach that you're working with and Coach Self that we have the utmost respect for, and hopefully he's doing well as well. Send prayers to him and his family. But you had a quality guy, Norm Roberts, who's been a part of the program and has been very instrumental in the success of that program at a very high level. He's also, I'm sure, had a voice as well. I had a voice. I was already coaching. It wasn't like you were just all of a sudden sprung in front of the team. I was already coaching the team, just on the defensive side of the ball and in front of those guys. I'm sure Norm likewise was in front of those guys. And when you're able to do that, it makes it a smoother transition in terms of the guys understanding your style and also being held accountable. But I thought Norm did a great job, you know, and it probably wasn't an easy situation for him as well, because you're never expecting what happened to Coach Self to happen during the season at the most pivotal time of the season as well. But I thought he did a great job.
There's always that absolute fascination, certainly, with coaches and how they, you know, go about their business and do their day-by-day things. And so that's why some of those questions come the way they do. And there were more questions, and I'll get, including Ronnie being asked what has made him a better coach, and some love for his hometown, Angleton, Texas. So there's some stuff with that. So we'll get to those coming up a little later on. But I did want to get to some of your questions and comments on the Specs text line at 337-3776 before we get to the break and have our first Longhorn Notebook of the program with Jeff checking in a few minutes. But what say those on the text line, Cam, this morning, questions and comments?
Yeah, we'll start off with Longhorn Bear. He believes that Kansas would be still alive in the NCAA tournament if Bill Self was on the sidelines, and I think I agree with him.
Well, I will tell you this. I think some of the things in the way that they run their offense, you would see a difference with Self, especially with regard to what happened in the second half of the Arkansas game when they became a lot less aggressive offensively and settled more for jump shots. And that kind of flipped the script, really, kind of, because Arkansas was doing that in the first half, and then Arkansas was more aggressive in the second half. And Arkansas got taken to the woodshed last night by UConn. But still in all, there might be something to that. It's an answer, you know, it's a question for which we'll never have the answer, clearly. But Norm Roberts, you know, kind of was running a lot of what was going on with the program anyway, just like Rodney was when Chris Beard was the coach. So I don't know if it would have had the ultimate impact in terms of between winning or losing, but there probably would have been a difference.
And then a couple texts coming in about Myron Metcalf's question to Rodney Terry. So Beavalanche Jason asks, why do some reporters do that? The press conference is to address the last question in the next game. There is a time and place down the road for questions regarding RT's future. So annoying. And then Jim from Lago Vista, it seems the media is the only one concerned about Rodney Terry and his future. CDC will take care of it after next season. Media people need to relax now, in all caps with two exclamation points.
kind of agree with him. You know, I would say this. Certainly the fans are very much Longhorn fans, very much in support of Rodney and wanting the thing to get done. But I think also fans kind of have an understanding based on what CDC said from the start, going back to Rodney being the acting head coach in December into January, and then when the decision was made to fire Chris Beard, that Rodney would be the interim head coach for the rest of the season. Well, the season's not over yet. They're still coaching. I get what a lot of folks are saying about, hey, look, he's done enough. He's proven enough. Give him the job. It's not about proving anything anymore. It's following the process that was laid out initially to the end of the season and then do the evaluation in the totality. It's not as if, at least this is my thought on it, my view, that Rodney Terry has anything left to prove that he could and should be the head coach of this basketball program. It isn't about that now. Now it's about just finishing out the process and then having the conversation to do it. But that answer isn't good enough for some folks, be they fans or in a large measure the media. Dick Vitale was very verbal about why they haven't done anything yet. You've heard other national broadcasters say the same thing. A lot of those people are folks who are either aren't closer to the situation and or either didn't pay attention or didn't hear and didn't read the release that came out at the time back in January when CDC said he would be the coach, Rodney would be until the end of the season. That statement to a lot of folks doesn't hold water to them because they want the instant action now to happen. And who knows if Texas wins tonight or if they win two games this weekend before they get to Houston for the Final Four, maybe there will be an announcement. I don't think there will be. I think right now it's about following the process. And when the season's over, then I think we'll hear the announcement. And I think things look good for Rodney Terry, but I don't know. I don't have any specific inside information on that. That's being kept within the decision makers' purview right now. But I do agree with what some of the folks are saying and that there are those outside the area of the media who are a little more, I don't know if agitated is the right word, but they're more aggressive in their questions about why this hasn't been made a done deal yet. And the only answer that I can give them is because that's not how it was spelled out in the process. That's why. And where it goes from here, we'll see. But I don't think there's any reason for Longhorn fans to be disturbed or alarmed that an announcement hasn't come down yet, because all that it's doing at this point is following the process. If the release back in January had said an announcement will be made at the end of the regular season or at the end of the Big 12 Conference tournament, then maybe you'd have some questions like, hey, what is stonewalling this? What has taken so long? But that's not what the release said. It said the end of the season. So that's why I don't think there's reason for Texas fans to be that upset and that alarmed about it, simply because right now, not only CDC, but the athletic department and those who will make the decision on this are sticking to what their announcement back in January said that they would do. That's where I am with that.
Last one, Craig, for you, the cleanup from the first half hour of the Specs Text line. Seeing how the teams played last night, would you still have Texas winning it all in your bracket, Craig? That's from Blind Longhorn Fan.
Hey, it's the only one of my Final Four teams I have left still standing.
Okay.
Kansas is out. I had Arizona in the Final Four. They get knocked out in round one. Kansas is out. Arizona is out, and who did I have winning the – let's see, I had Kansas. Who did I have winning the East? The East, it wasn't Purdue, but anyway, it wasn't Florida Atlantic, I don't think I had Tennessee listed as winning the East. I don't think it was – it might have been Marquette. Oh, I had Duke, I guess, in getting in. So maybe that was it. I don't have – the only Final Four team I have left is Texas. So, yeah, it'll have to be ride or die with Texas the way it's going right now. All right, coming up – was that all of them? Oh, did somebody ask about the Dell match play?
Yes, there, Cam? So tying back into how we started this show. So Jordan Spieth is known for playing a wild brand of golf, right? The Players' Championship, he actually was saved on Friday because his golf ball, instead of going into the water, hit a fan and bounced back into the fairway. And then yesterday, on hole number 7. He went long on the par 3. The ball hit a spectator, hit another spectator's phone, broke the phone, bounced back in the play, ended up making par and having the hole. And so usually Jordan's really good about, you know, finding that person and doing whatever they want, signing a glove, free tickets, et cetera, et cetera. This person's asking, what would you want that happened to you? You looking for a signed glove, a picture?
Oh, if I got hit by a golf ball from a golfer?
And the golfer came up and was like, hey, what? How can I repay you?
It almost happened to me twice when I was a kid going to the Greater Greensboro Open. One, Chichi Rodriguez was coming. This is 1973. I'm 12 years old, not quite yet 13. And Chichi Rodriguez is coming up 18 with a one-shot lead. And Chichi had never won a PGA tournament title before. And my younger brother, Chris, and I were sitting we got lucky. We were on the front row of the bleachers on the right side of the 18th green. And I swear to you, my brother said and you couldn't see the golfers down in the fairway because it was an uphill par 4 at Sedgefield Country Club. And so Chichi was down. We'd heard somebody said, I think he's down in the rough. And I swear to you, my younger brother said, wouldn't it be something if Chichi Rodriguez's ball came right up here? And it wasn't 10 seconds out of his mouth. And a golf ball comes soaring right at us. And we put up our hands as a defense mechanism. And I think it either hit my brother or me or both. It bounced. It didn't hit us on the fly. It came in and kind of bounced in. And I think it hit my brother because I don't really remember making contact with it myself. But I think it hit my younger brother. And it kept the ball from going under the bleachers. And it kind of bounced a little bit in the first cut of rough right by the green. And the marshals came up, and they were talking, and they were pointing at us, and blah, blah, blah. They ultimately decided that, you know, it hit us inadvertently, and we didn't throw it on the green or anything like that. Chichi comes up from there, chips on the green, knocks in the putt, and wins the GGO by one shot.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'd forgotten that story, but that had happened. Well, it'll be 50 years this spring. That's right. It'll be 50. It was 1973. So I have to check with my brother and see how well he remembers that. So that happened there. And I also, the GGO, I think the next year, there was a ball that came off the backside of the green, and I got out of the way of it. It didn't come close to hitting me, but it was Al Geiberger, who I think went on and won it. And Geiberger came up and flipped me two golf tees, or three golf tees that had his name on them. And so I'll always remember that as well as part of it. So, you know, I don't know that a golfer owes me anything unless he does me great bodily harm or something like that. Just come over and, you know, I'm sorry, maybe take a quick selfie with me or something after. That's all I would really care that much about. So it's funny, Dave, I hadn't even thought about that deal that happened to me when I was a kid in so long, but thanks to the texter brought that up. Look it up, 1973, Greater Greensboro Open, Chichi Rodriguez, his first PGA Tour victory. Up next, Jeff Howell joins us for our first hour Longhorn Notebook as we continue from here in Kansas City. And, of course, the Longhorns are playing tonight in the NCAA Sweet 16. And as such, we want to remind folks as well about the opportunity for you perhaps to salvage your NCAA tournament picks in the All-Stat Bracket Challenge. Look, we know everybody's bracket's busted. Like I said, all I have left is Texas and mine. But the Longhorns are still in the running, and somebody has to win. So check hornfm.com right now and see where you stack up in the All-Stat Bracket Challenge. Bragging rights and a 55-inch HD TV are on the line thanks to Tom McKay and Audio Visual Consultations. So be sure to check that out online at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe checks in with our Longhorn Notebook coming up when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Greg Webb and Jeff Howe, Light the Tower.
It is the both of us as we continue from Kansas City on the day that the Longhorns play in the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16, which brings us to our Longhorn Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
Longhorn Notebook brought to you by Aaron Bowersock, your home loan expert, your Longhorn lender. See if she can do for you what she did for Linda and me, and that is to get that home loan approval turned around in a snap. She is the person who can make that 10-day home loan approval guarantee a reality. Check her out on the web at bowersockteam.com. Bowersock Team, B-O-W-E-R-S-O-C-K, just like it sounds. Bowersockteam.com. All right, so Jeff Howe joins me from across town. Now, you asked me a question yesterday before the news conference started when I was making my way into the interview room, and it was a very smart question you asked me. You asked me where the closest bathroom was, and which, having been in that building as many times as I've been in it, I have probably used every single restroom in that arena at some point. So it was a smart move, but it got me thinking. I thought, wait a minute, has Jeff been in this building before? You've been in that building before, hadn't you, T-Mobile?
I've only been there once. I was there for media day in October, but guys, okay, usually don't cover the Big 12 tournament. Yeah.
Well, that's true. That's true. Okay. All right. So, but it was
recently,
a heads up question
well,
on your part.
Recently it's been bumping up to where it's the same week. Usually the Big 12 tournament falls on the same week that spring football starts.
Yep.
So usually I try to stay back in Austin for football stuff.
I know. Well, it's good to have you in town in Kansas City. So, let me get your impressions. I know you also have some audio as well, but your impressions of the day's events yesterday at T-Mobile.
We got a clip we're going to run right now. Thank you, Cameron Parker, for your diligent work in getting this ready. Craig, I've solved the mystery of the Jabari Rice shoe controversy.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yesterday. So once and for all, to set the record straight, from the horse's mouth, here was the deal with the shoes in the Penn State game.
The LeBrons were hurting my feet, honestly. I got them the day before. Yeah. I saw them. I was with my dad, and I got them the day before. And so they were just hurting my feet. They weren't broken in enough. But ever since I've worn these, I've had a good game. So I might as well keep it going. I shouldn't try to change it. So I just put these back on. And every game from now on that I'm fortunate to play, I'm going to be wearing these.
So, as he was saying, the LeBrons hurt his feet.
They hurt. Yeah, the LeBrons hurt his feet and went back to his other shoes. So he'll be wearing the multicolored shoes for the game tomorrow or for the game tonight.
Okay, that is good to know. And I should add as a postscript to this, Jeff, because this also goes to another question. I think, Cam, didn't you tell me there was a question on the Specs text line right near the start of the program about barbecue, about Kansas City barbecue?
Yeah, someone was wondering if you had KC barbecue on your agenda this weekend.
Well, I've already had it some, and here's what happened. The answer to the question is yes, it was going to be on the agenda. Now, our producer, Dave Garrett, wasn't able to arrive in town until last night. So normally when we barbecue, we do the barbecue thing together because we've hit a lot of the places in this town. However, Dave wasn't here yet, and when the team returned, and I returned with them from the close practice yesterday, they had barbecue catered from Gates. And Gates is another one of those classic traditional barbecue places, has good barbecue, and of course a lot of folks know Gates from what else they're known for. And Rodney brought this up in talking to the team. They yell at you. It's kind of almost like a soup Nazi experience. When you go through the line, what do you want? You know, and it's a speak up. You know, it's that kind of stuff. It's pretty entertaining, actually. And I remember taking Olin Buchanan through there once when OB was working for the Statesman before he went over to works at Texax now. But before then, it was his first time, and he was covering the women's athletics at the time. And I took him over there, and he was really thrown off by that. The reason why I bring that up and what it relates to shoes, Jeff, is – when we first went down and we were invited to come and eat with the team, at first we were told, hold on, the guys aren't here yet. And, of course, you always let the team go first and get what they want. And there's always plenty of food, so that's never an issue. But they were waiting on the players. Why they were waiting on the players is because when the bus got back to the hotel, Jeff, they all went to the nearby shoe store and were getting shoes. Guys were getting shoes last night. And I did see Jabari come in with a – Jabari came in with a bag in his hands. Now, I don't know that they were necessarily shoes for wearing on the floor, and like he told you, he's planning on wearing the gamers he wore last week tonight.
So I can tell you the story behind this. So there's a, like a little boutique place right by the hotel.
Yes.
And Dylan Mitchell had bought some slides. I'm not going to say how much he paid for the slides, but let's just say they're more than I'm willing to pay for a pair of slides.
I got you.
And
okay.
They were kind of, the slides were getting passed around the locker room, and guys could not believe how comfortable these slides were. So the plan was for them to get back to the hotel and guys to go get their slides or get some shoes that were that same brand at the little boutique next to the hotel. So
okay.
You can blame Dylan Mitchell, Craig, for dinner being late last night.
Okay, all right, that makes perfect sense because all we were told is the guys are at a shoe store, at the shoe store there that attaches to the Crown Center and all that kind of stuff. The guys are at the shoe store. So I thought, wow, they're going out and getting shoes. But that wasn't it. They're going out to get slides. Okay, well, that makes sense. And Jabari found himself.
Yeah.
Jabari found some. He had a shopping bag with him. So we'll look for the same shoes tonight, Jeff. But different slides for him.
Yeah, well, you know, I want to keep us on the clock, but sticking with Jabari, real quick. You know, this team. I was talking to him about, you know, what's the vibe, and he said, you know, he said, I think we were. He said, I forgot how he described, you know, nerves or just kind of those butterflies. He said, I think there was more of that last week. Just thinking about the possibility of getting here. He said, now that we're here. He said, I don't think we could be more relaxed or be more loose or just be as ready to play as we were. And, Craig, you saw them in the open practice yesterday. That was not a team. I would describe that group as the furthest thing from uptight. They were loose. They were relaxed. Yeah. But it's not an aloofness type deal. It's just a quiet confidence. Yeah, this isn't businesslike all year, but there's now a, dare I say, a swagger about this team now that they've got here, you know, because I do think now that in hindsight is 2020, now they can admit, like, hey, yeah, when you are the highest seed and you're playing in that first and second round, there is a little bit of pressure. But now they understand, look, if you've gotten to this point in the tournament, you're a really good team, and they know the teams that they're going to play the rest of the way are really good teams, starting with Xavier tonight. And it's crazy, Craig, when you think about the three tests this team has had. Each of their first three games in this tournament, they'll have faced three of the better three-point shooting teams in the country. Now,
exactly.
Penn State didn't shoot it as much as Colgate did, and Xavier doesn't shoot it as much as Penn State did. I think Xavier's in the 200s nationally in three-point attempts per game. But this is a team that they've got multiple guys on the floor that can shoot it. They shoot it at about a 39% clip. But, you know, one thing that I just really continue to applaud this team for, as good as they are on offense, and Craig, I think it gets lost in the shuffle. You know, this team led the Big 12 in scoring this season.
Yeah.
They were a pretty proficient, prolific offensive team. But they'll tell you, we don't really focus on what happens on the offensive end, because they know when they're really good, it starts with them. They're really getting down, guarding people, and playing really good defense, and their offense comes off of their defense. Guys really understand that. It's one thing to talk about that, but this team really believes in it. So it's another one of those tough tests where your perimeter guys are going to be tested. You know, your bigs are going to have some one-on-one matchups that they're going to have to win their share of those. So somewhat similar. I know the personnel for Xavier is different, but stylistically – not all that different than what Texas has seen the first two games is what they'll see tonight.
All right. This hour's Longhorn Notebook with Jeff. And, Jeff, I do have two Florida Man stories for Inconceivable. And I'm just going to go ahead and give them to you right now before we get to the break, just like we did last week. One is your classic Florida Man story. It's a man with a suspended driver's license who got pulled over and arrested after driving over 100 miles per hour. And this happened in Palm Springs, a 40-mile-per-hour zone. He was driving a black Mercedes, began swerving in and out of traffic at high speeds. Javon Pierre Jackson, 22 years of age, went zooming past an unmarked police vehicle and into a no-passing zone, where he split the lane, causing a white pickup truck to swerve and narrowly miss a head-on collision with the Mercedes. When the Palm Springs police pulled him over, they found three young children in the back of the car, and he's driving at that speed.
Oh, good Lord.
So as they, and he was also driving with a suspended license. So when they arrested him, he had his girlfriend in the car too. When they arrested him, they asked him, why were you driving so fast? He said he had to get his girlfriend to a job interview at Taco Bell. That's why.
Had to get his,
Yeah, well, it's Florida man, right? And we know what Florida man means, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, 140, is that even something that's real? Like, I didn't know that was possible.
Yeah, yeah, 140. 140. All right, one other Florida man story before we let you go this hour. We knew about the Lamar Jackson contract situation being a difficult situation. Did you see the memo that came down from the National Football League about this? They're warning teams.
I heard about the initial part of this. I heard Rod and Hard talking about it the other day. But, yeah, when I saw the memo come down yesterday, I couldn't help but laugh after their conversation.
Yeah, because the NFL has warned teams to stay away from a gentleman by the name of Ken Francis, who's been trying to negotiate his contract and contacting other teams. It says he's currently a non-exclusive, or it says as an uncertified person, Mr. Francis is prohibited from negotiating offer sheets or player contracts or discussing potential trades on behalf of any NFL player, prospective player, or assaulting or advising. He's a Florida man. That's the thing. He's a Florida man. It said that so that's the deal. They said that he was a Florida man. So there you are.
It's one thing to operate without an agent like Lamar does, but that doesn't mean that, you know, Uncle Cletus is free to go negotiate your next deal.
He was doing that. You talk about trying to grab low-hanging fruit, you know. There it is. All right, those are two Florida man stories. Jeff, we'll check in next hour for Longhorn notebook number two at the bottom of next hour.
Yep,
so we'll – all right, we'll do that. In the meantime, we'll continue with Light the Tower with the rest of the Inconceivable file on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Inconceivable. 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 Inconceivable.
You keep using the Horn. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Well, here are the other items that are not of the Florida man variety. First of all, you got a Walmart customer. You can start with those words right there, which is always interesting. Going viral after filling up a bottle of Dawn dish soap to, quote-unquote, avoid getting ripped off. This was somebody who posted this. This is something that has always gotten me to. If you're going to do something that is unethical and or illegal, why would you put it on TikTok? And what happened was a woman did not who thought that the bottle of Dawn did not have the right amount of liquid in there, so thought she was being shortchanged. So in a video with a text overlay that read, Walmart is not ripping me up, a TikToker can be seen opening a container of Dawn soap and then pouring it into one she's presumably intending on purchasing. So naturally a lot of people responded and said, you know, things like, hey, idiot, you know, it's done by volume. It's not, you know, they literally wrote the amount of liquid in the container. You're not getting ripped off. She then kind of tried to make a joke about it, the TikToker, but no joke, under the Federal Anti-Tampering Act, if they arrest her, it carries a maximum penalty of $25,000 and 10 years in prison or a $100,000 fine and life in jail if tampering results in death. Although, as has been reported, it is difficult to imagine someone going to die from an individual pouring dish soap into another container. That said, no word yet on whether that she's been arrested. This
brain
woman
cell
did
at
get
work was a good comment coming in from that, Craig.
What's that?
Brain cell at work was a good specs text line coming in.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? A good comment on that?
Brain cell? Like, no brain cells at all.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. No doubt. Here's something else where someone who did get busted in Las Vegas. A Las Vegas shoplifter caught on video. Not only was she caught on video shoplifting, she was caught on video bragging that she'd never be caught and laughing as she just brazenly just snatched items off the store shelves. "They'll never catch me," the woman said, while stealing from a convenience store there on Las Vegas Boulevard. She could be seen and then heard laughing as she walked away. The video helped identify 51-year-old Nicole Waters as the suspect after it was posted online by the police department. And in a Facebook post a couple days ago, Las Vegas police announced Waters was located last week a few blocks away from the Strip and arrested. The police department wrote from the Captain Obvious department, they wrote, "As a reminder, don't steal things." Okay. Appreciate the tip on that. Meanwhile, an Idaho man was arrested and was convicted for drug possession. But the drug possession conviction was vacated because the police drug-sniffing dog had put its paws on the vehicle. The state Supreme Court ruled that officers in Idaho carried out an illegal search of Kirby Dorff's car. That's his name, D-O-R-F-F. They carried out an illegal search of Kirby Dorff's car back in 2019 as a result of the dog's actions. Mr. Dorff was reportedly stopped by police in Mountain Home, Idaho, for not using his turn signals as he drove, and a second officer then arrived on the scene with a drug-sniffing canine called Nero. Officers searched his car and said the dog was alerting them to the presence of drugs and found a substance that later tested positive for, wait for it, up in the Pacific Northwest, meth, methamphetamine. They then searched his motel room. They found 19 grams of meth and drug paraphernalia. He was charged with felony delivery and possession of a controlled substance and misdemeanor drug paraphernalia possession, but he argued the charges were brought despite the dog trespassing on his vehicle, and his lawyer submitted a motion to suppress the evidence. It was denied by a county district court judge. He pleaded guilty on the condition that he could appeal the denial of his motion to suppress the evidence. And in June 2020, he appealed the case to the Idaho Supreme Court. And this week, the court delivered its decision. Three of the five justices in agreement, two dissenting. The justices in the majority wrote in their decision that the outside of the car was covered by the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution, which protects against unlawful searches. And with the conviction vacated, the case now goes back to district court, where it will continue with the motion to suppress in place. So, yeah, saying that when the dog put his paws on the car, that's when the search became illegal. So, dude skipped out on the meth charge, apparently, because the dog got a little bit too exuberant. And finally, Jeff would like this because it comes from Australia. He likes the fact that I searched Australia. But there's a brand new species of spider, and it is giant. It's kind of a cross between, it looks kind of either between kind of a red and a burnt orange. And very rare, very colorful, belongs to the genus Euopolis, and it's been living in Queensland, Australia. Researchers say it's in need of protection because they really haven't found many males on it, but they found it. It's a gigantic spider. Didn't say whether it was poison or not, but there it is. All right, there is your inconceivable for today. Coming up, we'll talk some Major League Baseball. Gene Watson, the assistant general manager for Major League Scouting for the Kansas City Royals, joins us. I'm in his town, and we'll get his thoughts on the just-completed World Baseball Classic and the home stretch of baseball spring training. Also, we have a Flex 30 update coming up this hour and our number two Longhorn Notebook with Jeff Howe. All of this as we continue from here in Kansas City with Light the Tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.